As Charlene stepped onto the main deck of the ship, which wasn't quite officially her namesake, she was once more struck by how enormously the standards of naval design and naval combat had changed in the course of only 3 years. Carisian galleys had been the biggest and most seaworthy in the world. That had meant they were also the slowest in the world under oars alone, but even the largest of them had been no more than two-thirds the size of Empress of Caris. Caleb's new flagship measured over 150 feet between perpendiculars and, with her far deeper draft, displaced almost 1,400 tons. She mounted 30 long krakens on her gun deck and 32 carronades on her spar decks. Combined with the new, long 14-pounders mounted as chase guns, fore and aft, that brought her total armament up to 68 guns. And no other warship in the world could hope to stand up to her. Except, of course, for the sisters anchored all about her. She seemed downright huge to Charlene. And she was. The largest ship in the Chisholmian Navy had shown little more than half her displacement and had mounted only 18 guns. Yet the Empress knew, from conversations with her husband, Lock Island, and Sir Dustin Olivier, that Sir Dustin was already applying the lessons he'd learned designing Empress of Caris to the next, even larger and still more powerful class. She no longer even looked like a galleon. Dreadnought and her sisters had already dispensed with the towering fore and after castles, but Empress of Caris showed even less freeboard than they had, proportionately, and she was effectively flush-decked with no raised forecastle or aftercastle at all. Or, rather, the narrow spar decks which had been incorporated into Dreadnought had been broadened so that they formed virtually a complete upper gun deck, and her gently curved sheer ran unbroken all the way from prow to transom. Because of her greater size, she actually carried the sills of her gun deck gun ports higher than the older ship had, and just looking up at her soaring, powerful sail plan could make Charlene dizzy. But her cutwater was sharply raked, and despite their vast size, she and her sister ships looked low-slung, lean, and dangerous. Her every line carried a sleek, predatory gracefulness, and the new Imperial Navy was continuing another Carisian tradition. Other navies might paint their ships in gaudy colors. Carisian warships' hulls were black. The galleons carried white stripes along their sides, marking the line of their gun ports, and the port lids were painted red. Aside from their figureheads, that was virtually the only color their hulls showed, in stark contrast to the ornamental carving, gilding, and paint of other navies. It was, Charlene had discovered, a deliberate statement. Carisian warships needed no decoration, no proud carving or glittering gold leaf to overawe an opponent. Their reputation took care of that quite handily, and the very lack of those things gave them a severe sort of beauty, the grace of function unhampered by a single unnecessary element. "You named a beautiful ship for me, Caleb," she said in his ear, speaking loudly as the seamen manning Empress of Caris's yards began cheering the instant they stepped onto the deck.
"Nonsense. I named her for the office, not for the person holding it," he replied with a wicked grin, then twitched as she pinched his ribs fiercely.
He looked down at her, and she smiled sweetly.
"There's worse than that waiting when you get home, Your Majesty," she promised him.
"Good."
His grin grew even broader, then faded as they reached the entry port and the bosun's chair waiting to lower her to the deck of the 50-foot cutter moored alongside the flagship. The cutter flew the new Imperial flag, and the golden kraken of the House of Armok swam sinuously across it, rippling in the brisk breeze. The same flag, except for one detail, flew from the mizzen peak of every warship in the anchorage, but Charlene's cutter showed the silver crown of the Empress above the kraken, while the flag flying above Empress of Caris showed the golden crown of the Emperor. The two of them stood gazing down at the cutter for a moment, and then Caleb inhaled deeply and turned to face Charlian.
"My Lady Empress," he said,
so softly she could scarcely hear him through the cheers rising now from the cutter's crew and spreading outward to every ship. She could see the sailors spread out along the spars, the marines manning the sides of all those ships, and she realized they weren't cheering for Caleb. Or not for Caleb alone. They were cheering for her as well. The line tenders started drawing the bosun's chair down to the deck for her, and she managed not to grimace. The thought of being lifted over the side and lowered to the cutter on a line like a parcel scarcely seemed dignified, but it was undoubtedly better than trying to manage her skirts while clambering down the battens nailed to the ship's side. It would be more modest, at any rate, and she was far less likely to find herself inadvertently and unexpectedly soaked. And anyway, it wasn't like... Her thoughts were abruptly interrupted as Caleb's arms went around her. Her eyes widened in astonishment, but that was all she had time for before she found herself being kissed. Ruthlessly, energetically, and delightfully competently in front of the entire watching fleet.